Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Hey, everybody, this is Spike Ferguson from Spike's Car Radio. We're out here in the porch of at the Malibu Kitchen at the Malibu Country Mart every weekend doing podcasts. My first guest is Jerry Seinfeld. He's right here. We're going to have Jeremy Piven. We're going to have Chris Hardwick. See you soon on Spike's Car Radio.
I think he's over-projecting for a podcast.
And I love to over-project for podcasts. Join me every week at PodcastOne.com and Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. Mandate, get on. Welcome to yet another CarCast. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Matt the Motorator, DeAndrea.
Hello.
We are doing a special podcast from my trailer in Irwindale. It's a racetrack. Where are we? What city are we in?
Irwindale.
Oh, Irwindale. Yeah. It's very confusing. It's
appropriately named track.
Irwindale. Racetrack. Yeah. Ken Block is our guest. You know Ken from the Gymkhana and all the racing and all the, 400 million plus views on YouTube. Good to see you, Ken.
Thanks for having me.
So we're all doing this project out here. I don't think we're supposed to talk about the project, but I'll just tell all of you.
For some reason, we just started a podcast and the boss walked in back there. We could talk a little bit about what we're doing, right? We could say that we're doing a Forza Motorsport commercial.
Okay. Well, I can't see the boss.
We got the nod back there.
When his head starts.
It's his job on the line. No big deal.
So we'll do a slightly abridged version of CarCast because it's lunch break for us, and they're going to need us back on the set pretty soon. So, Ken, so I was talking to you about the all-wheel drive and drifting all-wheel drive. And it seemed like a little counterintuitive because you think, well, you want the rear end coming around, and then you picture all those 240 SXs where they started, and like all the cars, the Mustangs, like,
yeah,
everything was just rear wheel drive. And now you told me it was better to have the all wheel drive, but I hear about the incredible obstacles.
Yeah, like it's better if you can make it work. Otherwise, good luck.
But is it? I mean, if you could put a number to it, like percentage-wise, is it that much better? Like, if you built another super drifting mobile, would you go, it's got to be all-wheel drive, people, and we got to do all this to get by it, or we can just go rear-wheel because of all the hurdles we had to get over?
Well, for me, it's all-wheel drive or nothing. It's just what I've done my entire race career. Now, remember, say, back in the 80s, oversteer was basically something that was a mistake, like in Formula One.
Right.
That was like, oh, crap, the tires are getting hot. We're oversteering now. But in rally in the 80s, they started using all-wheel drive, and you started seeing, videos and the TV coverage, from Corsica and Australia, all these places where they're using all-wheel drive cars but sliding them around, these hairpins and everywhere. So really controlled sliding really came from rally, not only in the 60s, 70s and real simple rear-wheel drive, but then in the 80s in all-wheel drive. And from there on, all of rally, be it tarmac or gravel, is really the main part of sort of controlled oversteer with all-wheel drive. So to explain, we haven't really changed much with the car. We control a lot of kind of the balance of the car and how it turns and everything with the way the diffs work and how the suspension is set up. We can dial in more oversteer or more understeer, all that sort of stuff. But sliding an all-wheel drive car is something that's been done since the 80s. And
yeah,
it's actually really quite normal type operation. And well, since I started racing rally 2005, I basically had to learn how to slide an all-wheel drive car around on gravel.
Right. Now, it makes sense now because I picture your explanation is succinct because I'm picturing drifting, but now I'm thinking about rallying and all those, all of them, but especially the starting off with the Quattros and stuff. It just sliding all the way around those courses in Europe.
Right.
Watching clips of it last night on Leno's Garage, and it can't be overstated enough. People on the inside of the corner, people on the outside of the corner, who can touch defenders, it goes by.
Yeah.
I mean, absolute insanity. And, you travel through United States and you see a guy drinking a beer on a in a cafe and smoking a cigarette, and you're like, somebody arrest that guy. He's going to get into trouble. He's got a beer and a cigarette. I don't care if it's outdoors.
And
there's kids around
area?
Here.
What's
yeah.
going on?
And there they're just holding a beer, and everyone's just flying past. And one thing that Matt and I have been talking about, and you might have some insight to this, is, you know, we're always talking about the collector car market and where it's gone and you know, buy an old Ferrari, buy an old Lamborghini. But so we've been noticing that old race cars have been getting expensive, and specifically old rally cars, 80s, like rally, 80s and 90s, like really, you know, the Renaults and all the Fords, all of it, like that market has jumped a lot. I don't know if you've been following that market. I don't know if you have any of those cars.
I do, and I follow that stuff. There's a couple reasons for that. The 80s is it's the groupie era of rallies. So
right.
The Lancia Delta and the Audi Quattros and the Ford RS200.
Yeah.
Those were already quite valuable, and now they've just become more and more sort of rare and hard to find because people are actually just holding on to them more, too. And then the 90s. I just tried to buy a 90s Group A Escort, and they're getting harder and harder to find because now the 25-year rule of not only importing them but also racing them. So once a car becomes a certain age, then it's eligible for classic rallies.
Oh,
now the
right.
early 90s are coming into that age, so all these cars, the Group A WRC cars, are all being harder and harder to find, and the prices are just going up.
That's an interesting point of view, because you're looking at them to race them, and we're looking at them. We're starting to see them show up at like RM and Gooding auctions, where you would never see these cars.
Well, right,
pulling 100, 200, some 300 grand.
Right. Well, the demand for the race has then caused the price to go up. That's basically what we're seeing. We've seen it a lot in just the last couple years of the early 90s cars.
That's a vintage Ford Escort, but if you want just a vintage Escort, like if you just hit the streets and you're looking for, I can get you a deal. The 90s Escorts are much cheaper than like today's versions. Yeah. You get a super break on vintage.
Is just 90s not Ford the age Escorts, or the
just,
era?
Just 90s era Escorts okay. all day long, man. Could I give you a break on them? Yeah, real quick, let me tell you about Alone, back for the fourth season with a crazy new twist. Rules have changed. 10 survivalists are still dropped into an unforgiving wilderness, but now it's 5 competing teams, brothers, fathers, sons. There's a married couple in there. It's a different kind of survival show. Besides their teammate, they're truly alone. No camera crews. They film themselves. No gimmicks. No forced challenges. Smart, man. Teams are split. Equipped with 5 items each to win, they must find each other and survive the very unforgiving North Vancouver Island, the longest, and they're $500,000 up for grabs. Whoever wins this thing's going home with a boatload of money. Tune in for all new season Thursday, 10 o'clock, 9 central on History. That's Alone, 10 o'clock, Thursday, 9 central, only on History. So, you know, when we were at Goodwood, you must have been to Goodwood.
He was at the Hill Climb when we were there last year.
Right, right. We were at the Hill Climb.
Last year.
Right.
The Hill Climb was like last week.
Oh, right, right.
And so we were all there the year before. Okay.
Now it's all coming back to me. But they got a vintage rally up there at the top. Have you seen that?
Well, they have a very nice kind of narrow stage up there.
Yeah, it's not really not your kind of rally, but I mean, it seems it's like the first I saw of like what I would call like a vintage rally event. I didn't know about vintage.
Yeah,
rally events.
I don't know that they only run vintage cars though.
Oh, they probably run everything. Yeah,
because I've run a Focus and a Fiesta up there, but most of the cars that you see that come out are older cars, and that's the amazing thing about Goodwood. You go there and you watch the hill climb. If you're interested in Formula One cars, you know, or you know, DTM cars, or you know, modern bikes and modern cars, like it's amazing to stand on the side of that road and watch those things go up. But then you can go to the top of the hill and watch that rally stage and see amazing classic, you know, Group B rally
and
cars.
We didn't even notice that when we were there. We're like, where are these people going through the forest in these cars? And we're like, there's another event. There's like rally cars, and then we saw like guys on motorcycle, like supercross, flying through the air on another part of the. Like, we didn't get a chance to see hardly any of that stuff.
No.
I genuinely think that's one of the best car events.
It's a great event.
In the entire world.
We were just talking about it.
Every time Ford's like, you have to go to Goodwin, I'm like, oh, damn it.
Yeah.
I get to go drive race cars for 3 days and look at all this amazing equipment, but on an estate in southern England that is stunningly beautiful. And, I mean, it's so beautiful and so picturesque. I mean, it's where the Rolls-Royce factory is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you know that, their factory is on the southern part of that property.
Yeah, you
it's
pass
literally
by,
just
you could
at
pass,
the end of the road when you go down the road. And, you know, actually for you and the kind of equipment that you drive, the only downside, if there is a downside to Goodwood, is it could be raining when you're out on the track in your slicks or whatever your car that's not really meant for that. But the kind of stuff you drive, that's actually just kind of ups the fun factor, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you have one car out there that really fits that sort of situation, it's an all-wheel drive car. And we generally bring a wet option set of tires for that exact reason. It's England. It's going to rain at some point.
I had slicks that somebody took, like, a soldering iron to and just put some like chevrons.
It looked like that, but we just used a white Sharpie to make it look like there was grooves.
I didn't feel
in
anything
there.
When I moved my hand, but my hand was white.
We're like, we don't want to make Adam nervous. Let's just draw some grooves with a white Sharpie. From 5 feet away, it looks like it
was. So basically, what I had was not a good set of dries or wets. I said I'd made some in betweens.
Fine.
Yeah, it was fine. So, Gymkhana, we're talking about 7 was LA. As someone who comes from L.A., or you come from L.A., how long is the permitting and the pulling of the, you know, the cops and the blockage of the streets? And it's like, I imagine it's a lot like you're shooting Fast and Furious or something. It's just get in there and start pulling, pull a bakery ticket and start writing checks.
Well, thank God I don't know. I'm the lucky one that gets to sit in the driver's seat. We have very good production companies that do all that stuff for us.
But I imagine
when you say I want to do Gymkhana, let's do L.A., downtown L.A., Dodger Stadium, everything. They say, okay, give me 2 years and we'll put it together.
Yeah, we work with very good production companies, very good scouts. It's like Transformers wants to rent whatever downtown street.
Yeah.
And we go through the same process.
Is everything Sunday night at 5 in the morning, or is there noise restrictions?
It all depends. Like, we do neighborhood stuff during the week when everyone's at school and at
right.
work, and we do downtown stuff on the weekends when, you know, the financial district's obviously not working. So it's all very smartly done by people much smarter about that stuff than me.
Is there a Moby Dick or a, you know, just sort of fantasy, like, through Manhattan down, you know, Broadway, Times Square, like
where you want to do Jim, completely underwater.
I mean, do you have a, you know, Blues Brothers through a shopping mall? Like, is there something that's on your bucket list?
I have to say that I've been very lucky to do the videos that we've done. We've done 9 of them, and now we're now working on the concept of 10. But I'd have to say that because I grew up in Southern California and I grew up watching movies like Bullet, San Francisco was like, it's like the ultimate playground to me. L.A. is cool. I enjoyed playing in L.A., but San Francisco, just with all the elevation changes and jumps and the water in the background and like twisty streets, like, and we basically set out a menu of like what would be the funnest stuff to do. And we were able to do almost everything that we wanted. So I got to say, it's kind of a letdown when you do the best thing you've ever wanted to do. And then, like, what do you do next? You know, but I've been lucky to continue to do stuff in Dubai and here in L.A. And you know, then continue to have sponsors
that
back me.
I have an answer for Ken. When you've done everything you want to do, as to what do you do next? You start a podcast. That's when you're done. When you're about
talking about other people what they want to do.
Everything's just kind of in the rearview mirror.
Just start a podcast.
Your partner's hosting the Oscars. You just start a podcast. You call it life. That's how it works. All right, let's see how we doing on. Oh boy, geez, What's the time? Let me tell you about Garage Boss. Oh, man, love these guys. Biggest complaint about changing the oil, the cleanup, but now there's Garage Boss. We have these guys. I think we hung out with them at SEMA, right, Matt?
Yeah, we did. That woman had a lot of energy. She was fun.
She gave me a care package with...
It was like Purell
and stripper glitter.
Yeah, stripper juice.
Thankfully, I had my own stripper glitter already. Garage Boss, they're the oil drain pans. I got a full line of drain pans with no mess solutions, like disposable tearaway sheets, integrated funnels. Just drain directly into the Garage Boss container and put it in your trunk and drive to the nearest recycling auto parts store, and boom, done. Bob's your uncle. So from oil pan to drain pan to recycling center, it's just that easy. It's available at Amazon.com. Just use search Garage Boss. That's Garage, B-O-S-S. Good company, good product. We love it. We use it. So, Ken.
The next yes. evolution of the Gymkhana videos is the Climbkhana. Right? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I'm just trying to come up with more excuses to go drive places I want to drive. But yeah, like,
so explain that. What's that going to be?
Well, Pikes Peak is somewhere that I've raced up it once in 2005, and I watched it like as a kid with a lot of interest, and really one of the things that caught my attention was back in the 80s when. The Quattro came over and set the fastest time, and seeing the all-wheel drive cars go up, it was just really cool to me because that's what I could relate to because I really liked rally. So I've always wanted to go back there, but I also like to kind of go to some of these places, you know, like with the Gymkhana series and not race per se. It's more of having fun with the car, you know, sliding around, driving with a lot of oversteer, and kind of driving the way that I watched my heroes drive in the 80s and 90s very sideways in the rally cars. So to be able to go to somewhere like Pikes Peak and be able to not only drive some of the sections quite quick, but really, you know, slide some of those epic corners and even set up, you know, little situations where I'm, you know, doing other sort of Gymkhana type technical driving.
Some fun stuff.
Yeah,
up there
we put different obstacles up there from figure eights and donut boxes to even sliding around a helicopter. But
yeah,
so having that mountain as a playground to race up it and play is just like really a literal dream come true for me. So
that one you're like, you like give the park ranger some money, be like, let me borrow your mountain for a little while. And we're going to bring a couple cars and a helicopter
or two. I
really
wish it was that easy, man. You make it sound
it
so
seems
easy.
Like it's easier
I think
than
it's actually
trying
harder,
to rent San Francisco.
I think it's harder doing that than renting a downtown street in L.A. You know what? But it's amazing that I have great sponsors like Toyo that's backing, you know, ClimbCon along with Pennzoil, that they are willing to listen to my crazy ideas and say, yeah, we'll get behind that. And, you know, I get to go off and really have fun doing one of my fantasies and do it with a 1400 horsepower car and make a piece of marketing out of it that not only I think that I really enjoy to watch. Like I make this stuff that me and my friends and all the guys that work for me, we love making this stuff because it's what we want to watch on the internet. And so it just happens to be that a lot of the fans like to watch that too. So I really am quite a lucky bastard that I get to do this stuff. I have a great racing career, and I get to do this fun stuff.
But, I think it's been, you know, it's such a weird new world order now where everyone has to kind of invent themselves and create and build a market and build a brand and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, just the fact that you've been able to just build a brand, you know, there's so many, you know, it's like, you know, Schumacher is great, but I never heard, you know, I didn't... He got a lot of endorsements and stuff like that. And there's been many guys. There's guys, we're going to talk about Tanner Faust. We're going to make fun of Tanner Faust. But getting out there with the apparel and the name and the videos and the online and stuff. Like, I mean, you've really done an amazing, dynamic job. I mean, you've done what we all, you know, I have to do it in show business. I have a comedian. Like, you want to sell a book, you got to build a name. You got to build a brand. Like, that. But doing it... In the automotive space, I mean, we were just talking to a J.R. Granatelli.
Yeah.
And he's like, Andy Granatelli was just P.T. Barnum, man. He just built this Granatelli brand. Like, he built this thing. I mean, he was a race car driver, but he was a brand. Yeah. And it's just
an engineer. Like, he was just like, I'm going to do a car, and I'm going to put a turbine engine in it, and I'm going to get Parnelli Jones in the car, and I'm going to build wacky stuff.
Yeah, so, I mean, hats off to you. Sponsored Monster Energy drink, hats off to you.
Thank you.
For Ford, just building that brand. I mean, it's an unbelievable empire.
Well, it's funny, though, that, like, I think that today we're kind of at an interesting merge of things. It's been going on, obviously, for a while, but with the internet, like, I grew up a rally fan, but I had to find it in the magazines. I had to wait till maybe someone decided to put Pikes Peak or a rally on TV. That was the only way to watch it. But nowadays, all you got to do is go to YouTube or Google and type in RALLY, you know, and you'll come up with all sorts of options. So I think that being able to showcase stuff that we like to showcase, you know, from a custom car build to sliding a corner a certain way, not only are we as brand makers and athletes able to do things that just weren't possible in the past, but as a consumer, you have so many more options out there to kind of see what you want to see. And for us, making the Gymkhana series, we're just showcasing something to me that I wanted to see as a kid. I wanted to watch cars slide around and do cool stuff. So we're having fun dreaming that stuff up and then actually making it and doing it as real as we possibly can.
Ken's being very humble because, take the internet, I love porn.
Yeah.
But I make very little of it these days myself, and especially the guy on guy stuff. That's way less than 15% of my business now. HoonigansRacing.com is where you go. You should just go to Hoonigan to see what's coming up next, what events, what merch, what whatever. HoonigansRacing racing.com. Shoot Ken a tweet at KBlock43, Instagram at KBlock43. Ken, I know there's another rally coming up Canada in about a month, if memory serves, that you're going to be at. Can we see that online, on TV, on cable?
Yes. So that's a part of the World Rallycross Championship that I'm racing in. That's our only event in North America. 10 of the races are over in Europe, one in North America and one in South Africa. Wow. So that one's in about 4 weeks up in up near Montreal, Canada. And you can see that on, I think, Ford Performance broadcasted here live on their Facebook page.
Huh?
I don't know what that's saying. Ken's looking at his people and they're all shrugging.
YouTube.
It's probably on YouTube.
YouTube as well.
Yeah. Okay. If you don't know where
YouTube
it is,
and Facebook.
Tweet Ken Block and ask him again and again and again until he replies.
Quick break to talk about Geico. Everybody's got the to-do list. You got to drop off the dry cleaning. You got to pick up the milk, take out the cat, bring in the dog. I think you put the dog. Anyway, go to Geico. Save hundreds of dollars in a car insurance. You don't have to drop anything off or pick anything up. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Why wouldn't you save a whole lot of money? Put that extra money in your pocket and get an extra set of tires that Ken Block can burn off for you doing a donut. Just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your car insurance. Geico. All right, I know they're going to want us out on set, so thanks for carving out some time, Ken.
Thank you for having
me. Thank you. We got to have you come in
always
again.
Always enjoy talking to you guys.
And until next time, this is Adam Kroll for Ken Block and Matt the Motorator. DeAndrea saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.